if you actually knew, hey man, you're going to follow some internal guidance, and sometimes that internal guidance is going to take you down paths that's not going to produce the result that you want, but that's actually the process of you getting clear on what the ultimate path will be. So just enjoy the journey and be 100% certain and secure that this vision will actually materialize for you. You know, you'd relax through all of it.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
One of the wild things about us connecting is I remember I reached out to you, I think it was in 2020 or in 2021, about getting on the podcast. And you had said like, yeah, let's do this. And I think my reply came back. I might've used a scheduling tool, but I always had like a note on my database that this was in scheduling mode. And I had all my files set up. And then when I was going through it, I was like, oh my God, like David, we've never actually got into doing it. And I've been wanting to get this done. This is like an interview 3 years from prospecting in the making, but going even further than that, I have to tell this story as part of the intro, because what you guys should remember is I'm working here at Mindvalley. I'm talking maybe like 6 to 8 years ago. I remember receiving a package through the mail coming into Kuala Lumpur from America. And it was like, I would never get physical mail, but suddenly I get this, like, for those who can see on video, I'm getting this thing that's maybe what, like half a ruler high, maybe 3/4 of a ruler long. And it's this black cardboard looking thing. And it looks like a really substantial package here. And I'm like, what is this? And then I open it and a video starts playing. And David Bayer here is telling me about, hey, looking for an opportunity to meet. A custom video has been added to this package to introduce himself and wanting to do some collaboration. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never had somebody pay attention to detail to do an outreach that's so personalized and so memorable that there's a reason that you've never left my mind, because that story to me was a pinnacle of designing an amazing experience right from the first touch point. And I'm going to go a bit more into your accolades and do the proper introduction, but I wanted to frame that story for everybody listening about sometimes when you go above and beyond is really what allows you to build something incredible. And the man that I have on the show today is the one who runs the annual event, the Powerful Living Experience Live, which was named Top 3 Must Attend Personal Development Event in the World by Inc. Magazine. And what we're going to discuss is, what does it take to operate at this level of excellence? What does it take to make you be the right person to do? What is it that your mission is? What business you want to build? And dissect David's business path in bringing him to the legendary status that he has now, CEO of The Whole Human, one of the fastest growing transformational companies in the world, and is speaking around the world, doing his epic events, and truly living an incredible life as well. I want to dissect it. I'm so excited that we finally get to connect and bring you on the show. David, welcome to the platform.
Jason, I'm glad we finally got here. Thank you for taking me back to that original moment. Like, I had totally forgotten about the way that Carol, my wife, and I started doing outreach at the beginning and how you and I connected.
Well, I was going to ask, did you even remember that?
No. I mean, what I remember is when we ended up meeting in Orlando at a Zumba convention, because I'd never been around 10,000 Zumbaers before, and we had breakfast together. That's what I remember.
Brother, that's what I forgot. Oh my God, we did meet at the Zumba convention. That was crazy. Oh my God. You know, just since you're on Selling with Love, I'm going to start with that. Like, did you have a sales background? Like, because it sounds to me like you've always followed up with me. I always followed up with you, but it sounds like you're someone that's like at least embraced what it means to be a salesperson.
In my prior life, I had done a lot of business development, which is high level sales. But I really just became a student of the expert space. And so, you know, when I realized that, well, really when my wife convinced me that there was something that I needed to go out and share with other people, you know, I started studying the Brendon Burchards and the Mindvalleys and Frank Kearns and old school digital marketers. And somewhere along the way, I think I got exposed to, I think his name is John Ruhl, R-U-I-L something, and his gift giving strategy. And so we experimented with it. And, you know, sometimes we got responses, sometimes we didn't. Sometimes there was an immediate opportunity, and sometimes it was 8 years in the making, like this was. So, Yeah, I never thought of myself really as like kind of a hardcore salesperson or closer, but I have had to become skilled at sales and marketing as a byproduct of wanting to get my message out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say the fact that you reached out in such a profound way, and it's interesting, John Ruhlin was a guest on the show a couple months ago, so he had a profound impact on me as well, because after listening to that, I started giving out gifts in a similar fashion, and now I realize the way that you've wrote that in is probably bringing his strategy. Very, very effective stuff. And, you know, I want to kind of, I know you, a lot of the work that you do works on the psychology, and you help people get to a level of excellence. And I wanted to kind of open with the fact that you've studied a lot of the people that, for those who are more on the sales side of listeners of this podcast, are probably familiar with the Brendon Burchards, the Frank Kearns, etc. And I see a lot of people can study their material, yet they don't have that much success. It's not to the discredit of the material, but I noticed that in this industry, there's a high failure rate. And in your case, you've done fantastically with the studying of these experts. And I'd be curious to know, have you kind of self-assessed what's the secret sauce that you think you've brought to the mix by being a student, studying their material, and applying it in a powerful way?
Well, yeah, I guess there are a couple of things. And I'll start with the first one, which I'd rather put at the tail end of this because I don't want it to be dissuading for people who are wanting to, you know, get their vision in the world and make an impact and have financial prosperity and abundance. I think every single person is capable of achieving it. And I'm sure we'll dive more into what I think the root cause is around that, which is mindset, which is a very simple word for a very large conversation. But one thing that I had was my wife. So, you know, at the time she was my girlfriend, then she was my fiance. And congratulations to you, because I know you've had an exciting announcement over the last couple of weeks. Really happy for you guys. But, you know, I had a built-in business partner. We were just talking about this morning. She said, you know, it's not easy to do it alone. And I don't think you are doing it alone. I think that's why a spiritual foundation is so important. I think that's why having a network of other people who are on the journey with you is so important. But it can feel like you're doing it alone. And I didn't have that aloneness in this business. So there were two of us. When one was down, the other would be uplifting. We have a completely different set of skills. And so that created a momentum that allowed us to implement consistently what we were learning. And when we implemented what we were learning and it didn't work, between the two of us, we were able to pick ourselves back up and look at what did work out of whatever we implemented, what didn't work, learn from the process. And it always seemed like when I would have my bad weeks and want to give up, it would be one of her good weeks. When she would have one of her bad weeks and be frustrated, it would be one of my good weeks. And so I think I just said that correctly. So I think another piece of it was I got clear that what I was rendering into this thing called the business was my spiritual vision and was who I had become and was my purpose. And there was no going back. There just wasn't a going back. And not that, you know, I couldn't have taken a job at one point temporarily in order to bridge a gap, but it's kind of like once you see clearly that your life has led up to you doing, teaching, being something in the world, it's almost impossible to go an inauthentic route at that point. And so there was just a perseverance and a tenacity. So what do I have? I have a partnership that keeps me uplifted. I'm clear on my purpose. So I've got perseverance and I've sort of burned the bridges. And then the third piece for me was my higher power. You know, we can talk about what I achieved, but I've gotten very clear over the last decade that I achieve very little. If I really look at, you know, 330 people at our first event or $1 million in our first year in business or being interviewed on Impact Theory, which was a big breakthrough for me, or the writing of my book. If I look at all of the things that needed to happen in order for those results to be produced, proportionately speaking, I was involved in very little of it. It was always other people. It was always support. And so, you know, those three things And maybe everybody doesn't have access to, you know, a wife who's an operator in their business, but, you know, everybody can burn the bridge and get clear on their purpose. Everybody can build their business with others and with a power greater than themselves. And then everybody can allow intelligence to operate, you know, within their business to basically be the chief executive officer of their business. I think those are the things that over time allowed us to look back and go, wow, these guys implemented those things that they learned.
Really like how you unpack that. And there one thing I heard you say a couple times, you said higher power, you talked about spirituality, and there's almost a mindset that could be around business is very, you know, it's transactional, it's all about the numbers, whatever you have when it comes to spirituality, that's kept outside of business. That's kind of in the personal life realm. I've had most of my breakthroughs in the weirdest of times in business, and I can't explain it with data. It came from like crisis to having to step back and question myself. And it sounds to me like you found a way that it's like actually quite integrated with spirituality. And I wanted you to unpack maybe a bit more about how did you see that kind of leg or the stick from the stool that keeps the balance for the business being based on spirituality? And is it something we should nurture?
I think it's a couple of things. Like I came out of a 12-step program. So before I started this business, you know, from a timeline standpoint, in around 2010, I realized my life had become unmanageable and I started working a recovery program and working the 12 steps, which are an incredible technology for eradicating limiting beliefs, for eliminating resentments, for resolving traumas. Unfortunately, it's hidden behind a door where you have to be, to access it, you've got to be a drug addict or an alcoholic or a food addict or a sex addict or whatever it is. But the technology itself is really profound. And as I got exposed to it and had, you know, a spiritual awakening and established sort of a relationship or an idea of a God of my own understanding or higher power, I moved into personal growth from recovery. And I just started becoming curious about how all this stuff works. Like, how does reality work? And I shared with you before we started this podcast episode that I'm going through a branding repositioning right now, and I'm looking back at my life and understanding my own hero's journey, because this is what I coach other people to do, because I think, again, your business is just a rendering of your own experience into these sort of mathematical principles and structure called sales, marketing, product, operations, but it's really all one continuum. And so when I was in college, I went to Columbia University and I was a philosophy major in comparative literature and comparative analytics. And I realized now that all the way back then, I was very passionate about first principles or root cause. And so if you're looking at first principles or root cause, you're looking prior to physics, prior to chemistry, prior to biology, prior to business principles, prior to sociological and cultural influences, and you're starting to look at how energy functions and how energy renders into all of these structures of our reality. And so that's a metaphysical conversation. It's like an a priori conversation. And some people would call that's a spiritual conversation, because the study of energy is the study of spirit or the study of consciousness. But if consciousness is translating into reality, and then it's sort of sub-translating into these different areas of our life, business, health, relationships, right? It's establishing these structures. I think you have to realize, like, this is all one big, what we would call spiritual game. I saw an interview recently from Mindvalley University with Vishen and Nassim Haramein. There was a question that was asked. I think Vishen was getting really excited because Nassim was explaining law of attraction sort of through the lens of physics. And then Vishen said something like, so how do you leverage all of this understanding to create your own reality? And Nassim kind of laughed and he said, well, I think first you have to get clear on who you are, what you are. If you don't understand that you are the byproduct of the becomingness of the quantum field or of space, from the very beginning, you're operating according to a false premise. And so then if you look at how that false premise then extends itself into this thing called business or lead generation or messaging, how can you be effective with it? And, you know, you mentioned, you said, hey, you know, but again, prior to the interview, you said, you know, 99% of people would like to achieve the type of thing that you've achieved. And I would say, well, a big part of it, I guess, going back to your first question that I left out, was like, yeah, I had to take time to understand what I am, who I am, and how reality works. Business is a spiritual game. And really the outcomes that we're wanting to produce in business, those are actually just sort of like guiding norths for the real game, which is who you become and what you learn about yourself through the process of business and whether you choose to heal or reinterpret or reorient yourself to the resistances that are coming up. And so business success is actually a byproduct of your capacity to develop non-resistance within yourself. And so when you realize that's the game, you play the game of business completely different. Now the game is I have desires, and I know that desire plus non-resistance equals the desired result. It's not desire plus hustle and grind equals desired result, or desire plus control my external circumstances equals desired result, or desire plus one funnel away equals desired result, right? It's so now you're approaching business from a completely different perspective, which I think we would call a spiritual perspective.
Amen to that. And honestly, as you're sharing this, I'm just thinking of all the times that I've went in a certain direction to figure things out. Like, for example, I came out with my book, I launched a membership, and I started developing, like, I had a curriculum, I was training some stuff, I had checked out on how to structure a cool membership in a community. And then, like, I felt so lost. First off, it wasn't generating the revenue I was expecting it to generate, and I wasn't excited about administrating the support for the members and to be looking at taking care of them. Like, I had more of my obligation to serve the people I had sold to, and I made sure to fulfill on these obligations, but it was very draggy. And it made me realize, like, by doing that, that I was like, my God, this is not the direction. I'm not having fun. It's not being lucrative. There was a whole lot of signals that were showing me that I seemed to be on the wrong path doing that. But I wanted to ask a question, like, am I necessary to have to walk down those kinds of paths that seem to be not in full alignment with who you are, but you feel like it's the best thing based on the information you have at the time? Because I've made a big change since, which has brought me more happiness, more clients, more satisfied clients, more financial abundance for me. But I feel like I've done a lot of wrong turns to be oriented towards the better places. Is that part of the game?
Yeah, I think it has to be. I like what Abraham says. You know, Esther Hicks channels Abraham, who I think is one of the great modern teachers in personal growth and spirituality that a lot of people don't have exposure to because a lot of people think that channeling might be woo-woo. And let's be clear, it's very woo-woo, but she's channeling Abraham. So Abraham says, hey, you know, the instant you experience a problem, immediately what is created is the solution. And so the problems in our life or the paths that we go down that end up not producing the result that we want, they help us focus our energy and attention in the direction of what we do want. We live in this dualistic reality, right? So you only know good because you know bad. You're in a relationship that doesn't provide you the qualities or the emotional experience that you want, and that helps you get clear on the qualities of the person and the emotional experience that you do want. And so the challenge is that the mind, unmanaged, tends to continue to focus on what's not working and what we don't want. And so we tend to experience this sort of Bill Murray Groundhog Day of the same problems, or we give a meaning to an experience of, well, this shouldn't have happened. What's wrong with me? Why is it working for other people? And these paths that we go down that don't end up producing the results that we want are simply designed as feedback mechanisms to help us get even more clarity around the path that is the path that's going to produce the result. But in order to productively experience the journey of entrepreneurship, we have to relax into it. And it takes time. If you think about that process, it's like, wow, I did all this stuff and I created a membership and I went and studied this and then I launched it and then it didn't produce the results. That took what we would call time, right? And so this recalibrating, it happens over years. You know, it happens over decades. I even perpetuate it, right? If you look at some of my marketing messaging, it's like how we built a $30 million company over 7 years or earlier, and it would be like how we built a $2 million company, because that's what people want. But the truth is like that's not healthy for the reality of what the journey is going to look like. because we end up being rushed. If you actually knew, hey man, you're going to follow some internal guidance, and sometimes that internal guidance is going to take you down paths that's not going to produce the result that you want, but that's actually the process of you getting clear on what the ultimate path will be. So just enjoy the journey and be 100% certain and secure that this vision will actually materialize for you. You'd, you know, you'd relax through all of it. And in that relaxation, you'd be available for the learning. You'd be available for the intuition. And most importantly, you'd be available for the joy of what the journey is supposed to be. But we very much get it backwards. And by the way, I'm still susceptible to getting it backwards. I experience misunderstanding on a weekly basis, which produces stress and overwhelm. I find myself feeling like I'm not as far along as I should be every week. But I also understand that the game is to be aware of that and to use whatever tools I have available to relax, to downregulate my nervous system, to move back into non-resistance. There's so many nuances to this game, and that's why I've become such a like a self-study on it. Next week, there's an episode going live on my podcast, which is, as an entrepreneur, how do you distinguish the difference between when you should push and work and when you should rest? Right? So there's all these like really beautiful nuances, and each of them could be their own podcast episode.
Mm. It's interesting. You're talking about things like intuition, following your gut. And there seems to be those natural moments where I'm just like, it feels like a hustle month. And then sometimes I'm just like, I feel like I need to step back. You talked about the woo-woo earlier, and like, I love the woo-woo. Like, I'm someone who follows like numerology. My fiance, which is fun, this is the first time officially on the podcast I get to refer her as my fiance, which is a good feeling. She does some human design readings, and I love that because it gives me chances to question a bunch of stuff, gives me a bunch of powerful self-assessment tools to see if I'm in alignment or not. And I have to admit, there's always a little guilt when I'm not in the hustle mode, right? Like the culture would label it as lazy. There's a part of me that's like, am I not keeping up with the competitors? Am I going to fall behind? There's an anxiety in the letting go, the surrendering, the chilling. It feels like it's chilling. And then I'm like, oh my God, am I allowed to do that? Is that even something you've had to wrestle with?
Yeah, I've been wrestling with it this week.
Okay, it's not just me. Good. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 20-month-old son. I've had over the last 7 or 8 years, I guess what some people would call like chronic health challenges. Nothing serious, but just affecting my energy levels. I have this idea that I should be performing at a certain level, spending a certain amount of hours a day working. You know, what actually comes to mind is I remember a video with Alex Hormozi saying, yeah, when I work a single shift in the day, it's from, you know, 7 in the morning till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, but I've been working double shifts and sometimes I work triple shifts. And I'm like, well, I don't even know if I'm doing one shift right now. And I feel like the combination of my son and just my physical experience and not feeling as energized has put me in a position where I have to just accept where I'm at right now. And I think the lesson is that I'm going to see results produced even greater than I imagine through this relaxation. And I'm actually seeing it. I'm seeing much more efficient ideas coming to me. I'm seeing a lot more harmony within my team members and the way that they're taking over responsibilities. And my child is such a great reminder of it, because I was like wolfing down lunch the other day and I was like, I got to get back to work. And he decided to climb up in my lap. And my previous tendency would have been like, okay, hand him over to the nanny who's there during the day and let me get back to work. And I was like, no. A wise friend of mine said, beware that you never know when it's the last time your child will do something and you'll never get to experience it again. And I was like, when he's 22 years old, he's not going to be climbing up into my lap while I'm having lunch. So I'm choosing to trust that the vision I have will materialize through my own efforts and through the coordination of intelligence and what we would call synchronicities, coincidences, and that I also get to enjoy my time with my family. I also get to rest when I feel like my body needs rest. You know, I believe in a loving intelligence or a loving creator. And so I don't I don't believe that in order to have business success, I have to take my health or my family to the sacrificial altar of success. But to your point, I feel the anxiety around it. I feel the doubt. I'm like, yeah, but look at what Alex Hormozi's doing. And then I have to go, yeah, Alex Hormozi doesn't have kids. So that one's a real easy one for me, right? I like Alex Hormozi. I don't know him personally, but this isn't a criticism. So I think, you know, when you're in that space, everybody's in their own unique personal experimentation with what feels right. And then you know what? Sometimes when I'm chilling a lot, I do get that feeling of like, I want to take action now. And I have to be conscious of whether or not fear is inserting itself in my hesitation to take action, because I have self-limiting beliefs. So when I go create a webinar or I review some copy, I do have those feelings of like, oh, what if this doesn't work? What if it's not good enough? And so that's why this is such a nuanced game, because there's a difference between resting because it's time for space so that something new can emerge from the field and so that you can tap into new ideas and so that you can enjoy your life. That's different than resting because you're afraid to take action. And it's important to distinguish between the two.
Is there an easy test for you to know which one's making you make the decision to rest?
I think it's the emotional guidance system. I think it's how you feel. When I think to myself, I need to push harder right now, but I'm not feeling physically up for it. And I think about the idea that things will take care of themselves and that my creator is giving me the grace of rest, it feels good. When I think about, I've got to push through how I'm not feeling well in order to get things done because there's a tight timeline and I need to hurry things up, it doesn't feel good. So then on the flip side, if I'm truly inspired to go create a webinar or a podcast episode, but I'm not doing it because there's fear there, it doesn't feel good. It actually feels good, this idea of what if I produce this outcome? It's in that gray zone. I don't know if I'm being articulate about it, but it's in that middle ground where I think that I'm not feeling fear when I'm talking about pushing through and doing more work rather than resting. But I'm feeling fear when I'm thinking about not doing the webinar when I quote unquote should be. And fear is really the only thing. If we were to simplify this whole conversation, it's to notice when fear is showing up in your life and work with the fear and work through the fear and detoxify the fear. But people in personal growth, they talk about it in a lot of different ways, you know, trauma or this or that or what, but it all comes down to just fear. And I think one of the things that we're here to do is to detoxify ourselves of fear. And part of that detoxification process is a reestablishment of faith or a relationship with something greater than you. Because I think it's almost impossible to be fearless if you believe it's just you. If you don't believe that there is help around you.
I'm glad you highlighted the power of the 12-step program. And I don't know if you remember this, but right when we first had our conversation, I had just made the decision to quit drinking. And you had acknowledged to me that you had not been drinking, and that was really cool. And I actually reached out to Russell Brand's book around addiction and talked about how we're all on a spectrum for that. And, you know, I didn't find myself labeling as someone who was dependent on alcohol, but I decided to make the stop and I could see like, oh yeah, no, there was a leaning into it. And then it was showing up in different areas of my life. And I thought that was one of the most powerful processes you could follow. And so I'm glad that there's opportunities where we're taking it away, as you said, the stigma that it only belongs in a certain realm, because in itself is a powerful program. But I know in your case, you take people on a very powerful journey during the Powerful Living Experience. That's your live 3-day program, award-winning program. And I kind of wanted to see what we're talking about here, about addressing the fear, understanding where to pull, when to push, when to hold back. Is this mostly what you do with your clients now? Like, are you doing mostly with business lens, or does it happen to be other areas of life? Which one's the ones that you find yourself working with most?
As an organization right now, we're focused on working with high performers and entrepreneurs. We're teaching them root cause principles so they can create leverage in their business growth, impact in the world and joy in their life. So the process that we've developed most recently is the Whole Human Framework, which is modeled after the 12 steps. And it identifies four types of resistances that make up the whole resistance matrix within a human being. It's basically the structure of how fear asserts itself. And so in that structure, you've got kind of run-of-the-mill limiting beliefs with tools we teach on how to transform those. An important component that's part of the resistance that I realized in working the 12 steps is resentments. So some people have a hard time shifting certain limiting beliefs, and the problem is they're still holding on to resentments with people or organizations or concepts that those limiting beliefs are associated with. So until you let go of the individual, you can't really let go of the limiting belief. And then what we've identified is that each and every individual has something that we call the core program. It's an emotional home. Some people would describe it as like the core wound or the unhealable wound or the core trauma. And that's actually something that you cannot therapy away, ayahuasca away, magic mushroom away. It was really interesting to hear Andrew Huberman in a clip recently say, hey, I realize I've got some character flaws that no matter how much therapy I do, coaching I do, medicine I do, I'm not able to get rid of it. And he said, so what I've developed is a practice of prayer. And in my prayer, I acknowledge that I'm incapable of alleviating myself of this character defect, that there is a power greater than myself that can. And I pray to this power greater than myself to take my character defect from me. And what he just did was the first three steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that process is surrender. And so we talk about surrender a lot. I'm just going to surrender. I'm just going to allow. But it's actually a moment-by-moment practice of noticing when your core program comes up and not trying to fix it, but moving into some sort of prayer. Or if we were to look at it neuroscientifically, it's basically like a habit break. It's a mental habit break of turning it over. And you have to believe that there's some power greater than you that can take it. So we've got limiting beliefs, resentments, your core program, and then the last piece is this idea of not enough. Those four pieces, if we can heal them, create a whole human being. And we basically, you know, we teach business strategies as well because we had to learn them in order to get our message out there, and we've become very good at it. But I like to tell people we're basically a bait and switch business. Like, we trick entrepreneurs into growing their business so they can actually become whole and heal their childhood traumas. So,
brother, I'm glad you're doing that magic because I totally understand that is the core need. And it's so funny. I do something similar where I basically, for me, it's all about selling with love. And I'm like, yeah, it's a sales book, but like, surprise, the last chapter is self-love. And that's where the meat of it is. And I'm sure you're having a similar thing at your event because what you're talking about there, that's not easy stuff. And it's like, unless you address those things, you know, you can find all the strategies and the tactics online. But in the same way that I was talking earlier on how, oh, I built a membership, somebody was giving me the steps, there were things that weren't resolved in me or aligned with me. It doesn't matter which tips you gave me. I couldn't find the forward momentum in the business because I had to go resolve me. And that kind of gives me a bit of the answer that I was looking at earlier, which is, do I need to go down these paths? But I think there's different things you can do, because if you go to an event like yours, you get to kind of accelerate how deep down the wrong path you go, because you go and address a lot of the core stuff. And, you know, for me, that's something I'm hoping I'm inspiring people to start questioning themselves. When they listen to this, they get to see guests like you coming through here. I'd be curious to know from people going through your events, because I know thousands have, is there particular cases in business you've seen people really be able to change the direction that has allowed them to create something incredible?
Yeah, well, a little book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, right? Number one best-selling wealth, success, business book in the world, which isn't about wealth or success or business at all. It's about this idea that thoughts are things and you're creating your own reality. And so the reason why I love entrepreneurship so much, although you could certainly do it with all the other areas of your life, is because all of the dynamics that are showing up in your third dimensional experience of your business are simply a reflection of your own belief systems and your consciousness. So if you're struggling with your messaging, there's something for you to look at inside of you. If you're not generating leads, there's something to look at inside of you. If you're selecting bad strategies that aren't working, there's something to look at inside of you. If you're actually implementing good strategies, but they're not working, right? So when people come to the Powerful Living Experience and they begin the process of clearing out some of their resistance, there's now no longer a need for the challenge they were experiencing to be showing up in their life because they've changed their mindset. And so the effect of that is a business breakthrough. And we have it all the time. There's actually a boyfriend and girlfriend couple who are in my high-level mastermind, and they came to the event and they were struggling with this solar lead generation business that they had. And then 90 days later, they sent us an email saying, hey, we were struggling and now we're doing $60,000, $70,000 a month in profit. 2 months later, they sent another email saying, hey, all of a sudden the business is contracting and we don't know what's going on. And so, you know, the growth and then the contraction was a result of what we often see, which is people come to an event, they change their mindset for a while, but because the brain is neuroplastic, they go back to their old habits and patterns of thinking, right? Because no one's going to transform, no one's going to completely rewire their brain in 3 days of anybody's event. I don't care if it's my event or Tony Robbins' event or Joe Dispenza's event. It's about having this opening and then learning the tools and getting support on an ongoing basis, which is why coaching is so important. But yeah, people have massive breakthroughs, or they say, hey, like all of a sudden I got my first 20K client and guess what? It was somebody that I knew. It was somebody who was always there all along. And it's like, yes, because your beliefs about your own self-worth or what you charge or whether people would find value in what you have to offer, those were preventing you from even seeing the clients that were right in front of you. Because the brain is a goal-achieving machine. And we know this from neuroscience, right? You know this. There's a part of the brain, the reticular activating system. It's filtering out 88% of your experience, and it's only paying attention to 12% of the information that's in front of you. Well, what small sliver of information is it paying attention to? Whatever's aligned with your beliefs. That's the game. The game is an inner game. If you really want to grow, you use entrepreneurship as an opportunity to master the inner game. And then the benefit of that is not only are you living your authentic self through your business and having financial abundance and prosperity as a result of it, but you're able to translate this into all the other areas of your life. Because guess what? The way you're doing business is the way you're doing your personal relationship. The way you're doing that is the way you're doing your family. It's the way you're doing your bank account. The way you do anything is the way you're doing everything.
Yes, 100%. I just find that in business, it's really fun because you get a measurable result if you're messing up, and that hurts. Your bank account will directly tell you you ain't doing right. And so it ends up being a very sharp edge to play with when you're in the entrepreneurship field.
Yeah. And even that is like, if we were going to look at that, you can't really do it wrong. I mean, you're not doing it right because you've got some misunderstandings that are meanings that are wired into your brain, that are materializing certain results so that you can have that reflection and do the inner engineering. But like, this wasn't even your own stuff. It was some misunderstanding from when you were a kid, or it was something that your parents believed that they passed on to you. And so you're not really messing up. You're just starting to understand how the whole mechanism works. And then in that, you can take the pressure off of yourself. Because I think that's one of the really challenging things with the current state of a lot of personal development is you get into this work and then you start to think you suck at personal growth. You're like, my thoughts are creating my reality. I don't really like my reality. You even start becoming afraid of your own thoughts. So again, that's just a meaning you're giving to your own experience of personal growth. So if we were going to sum it up, it's like, just chill, you know? And it's hard, quote unquote, because the nervous system is literally designed to not chill. The nervous system is designed to keep you on high alert. And the nervous system translates into this mental mechanism of meaning. And so it's constantly giving threat meanings all around us. And you know, just as we think about closing this out, because I know how long your interviews are, we've been talking about it on an individual level, but I think it's also important to understand, you know, not only are you creating your own reality, so the work is to detoxify yourself of fear or these forms of limiting beliefs so that you can experience what is always there, which is abundance, health, relationship, connection, impact, joy, self-expression, authenticity. That's the natural state. It just gets disrupted by these misunderstandings of fear that are inside of us. But that same game is being played out collectively. And so if you look at what's going on in the world right now with what a lot of people are calling totalitarian control in its various forms, censorship, the military-industrial complex, corporate capture, whatever position you want to take, all of that is just an expression of what's inside of all of us. And so the solution is singular. The solution is like, do your own work to heal your misunderstandings. And if more of us do that, our external environment will change, both on a personal level of our own lives and a collective level of like what we're creating on this planet. And so, you know, I don't often hear about it spoken in this way, but I think personal development is the technology that quote unquote saves the world, right? It's the technology that allows us to transition from the current reality, which is reflecting thousands of years of unprocessed trauma, to a reality where we're living in harmony, you know, where health and abundance and prosperity are available for everyone, where there aren't a handful of people, you know, quote unquote, controlling the majority of humanity, where it's kind of like Wakanda, you know, like you're living with technology and in harmony with the planet. So I believe in the certainty of the goodness of the future. And I'm actually very excited about this change that, you know, we're experiencing in the world. And I also get excited about the breakdowns that people have in their lives, because I think on the other side of the breakdown is the transformation.
I have a feeling that there's a few listeners here that are going to want to go a little deeper from what we've scratched the itch on today. And what I'd love to do in closing is just know that for everybody who's paying attention to this and you're like, maybe you've been dealing with anxiety, maybe you've been feeling like you need to find direction and you've been wanting to reignite a flame, I want you to have a look at A Changed Mind, which is David's book. You can find it on Amazon, and his podcast is of the same name, where he goes deeper into these concepts of personal growth that really help you align in your business and to be able to find some of these answers. I really, really love everything that you promote. And of course, for those who want to go into an intensive, I know that the Powerful Living Experience Live is an annual retreat, I believe, that happens.
Yep, 3-day event, once a year.
Yeah. I'm going to just tell you all to go deep into this. Matter of fact, I know the team has to let me know. If you go to davidbayer.com, we'll put a link into the show notes. You can actually get a free copy of Mind Hack, which will help you achieve your full potential. And it's really going to go deeper into the topics we've talked about in the conversation today. And honestly, I know you're doing the amazing work that you're doing with this higher purpose to see how people get aligned. When we take care of ourselves, we take care of our communities, we take care of our clients, it makes a ripple effect. It makes the world a better place. And that's why having a conversation with you is a very fruitful experience for me. And I'm so glad we finally got to connect on camera to make this happen. But I'm not going to let you go, David, without actually asking you the question I do ask all my guests, which is, you are on the Selling with Love podcast. And I have to ask you, what does selling with love mean to you?
I'll answer the question. I'm going to tell a quick story. So the first event that I did, there was the opportunity to make the offer on the second day into our one-year coaching program. And I had my coach there who was coaching me on running events and selling. And I made the offer and she said, "Why are you afraid of selling?" after I made the offer. And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You didn't show up powerfully." And I said, "Well, I said, everybody's had such an amazing event and I didn't want people to feel like, oh, this is like a hard sell." And she said, "You have no right to take away someone else's opportunity for change in exchange for your own personal insecurity." And so to me, and I've heard you talk about it and I've seen you write about it, you know, for me, selling with love is being in the discomfort, your own discomfort of what someone else might think, in order to take oftentimes a more powerful stand for their possibility and the stand they're willing to take for themselves.
Brother, that is so good and so true. Don't let your discomfort get in the way of the conversion. Because yeah, the conversion, if you're doing something great in the world, which I know you are, then you have to have that faith and that trust. David, it's been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for everybody tuning in. As I've mentioned, A Changed Mind, you can actually find details on Amazon. Grab a copy of the book. Go to davidbayer.com. Again, we'll put some links into the show notes. There's some free literature, some trainings, there's a podcast, and there's so much more you can uncover when you go down this path. And know that it will open your mind, give you some alignment, some peace, and realize that there's a lot of success that's waiting for you if we take away that resistance and go for it in the right way. David, it's been an incredible journey, and thank you so much for all that you do.
Man, worth the 7-year wait. Thanks for having me.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.